Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
One pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez it toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Welcome to the Chris Sale Show, otherwise known as Worryometer Wednesday on Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Azer here with Heath Cummings and Chris Towers. Are you ready to be hurried along at a very annoying rate by me today?
That's exactly the type of intro I would have had if I was trying to do a show quickly. You definitely nailed that one.
Yes, we are going to try.
No,
to do it.
I will not be hurried.
I will. Oh, you will be hurried.
I will
sir. Plant
myself like a tree.
I
put
know
Adam on the hurryometer.
This is Hurryometer Wednesday. That's a good call. I know that if I don't speed us along, we'll talk about Chris Sale for hours. So it is Worryometer Wednesday, and we welcome you, everybody, to Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll read some of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll grade some trades. We'll talk about Cody Bellinger's value. We'll do some Hey Real Quick for the first time this season. But let's start with Worryometer Wednesday. Four pitchers, four hitters. The pitchers are Chris Sale, and you might be like, hey, why are some of these guys on here? All right, fine. Give me a zero on the Worryometer. That's fine. Chris Sale, Zach Greinke, Aaron Nola, Steven Strasburg. Tell you about the hitters in a little bit. 0 to 10 on Chris Sale. How worried are you?
3. 5.
3? Did you say 3?
Yeah. He picked up like 6 miles per hour yesterday. That's in velocity.
That's objectively not true.
Hogwash.
No, not true also.
What do you mean?
It was 3.
Three.
His average fastball velocity was 92
okay.
miles per hour.
He was hitting 94
which was
at times,
lower than his previous first start.
Okay,
so
I have no concerns about Chris Sale.
He was hitting 94 in the first inning, and then
three
he couldn't.
Out of 10 concerns.
Then
okay,
he couldn't.
The concern is the Red Sox are not going to stop being stupid soon enough.
This is preposterous. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
What's that?
No, it's just preposterous to be like that Chris Sale is pitching poorly because the Red Sox want him to pitch poorly. Chris Sale has nothing.
It's not true.
Well, it depends on which thing you believe.
No. At this point, it's pretty clear that that was not the thing. Because yesterday before the game, Alex Cora came out and said, well, he was sick before his second start. That's why he threw that way. And after that start, he also said, I think he'll get his velocity back. It's just a question of when.
So we are going to believe these things they say and not the other things.
Last night, Chris Sale said, I'm frustrated. This has never happened to me before. I don't have an explanation. At this point, it's pretty clear that they've been trying to come up with explanations for it, and there is no explanation for it.
Sure there is. He's
not throwing hard.
They did hold his velocity down in the spring, or you think they just made that up?
No, I think that's probably something.
Okay, it just takes him a little while to work up to it.
Okay, but he was not really throwing. I mean, he was hitting 94, but that was early in the game, and then from one inning to the next, his velocity dropped pretty alarmingly.
But he hit 94 in his final inning,
which was a disaster.
Yeah, right.
When he had no command,
he got BABIPped really hard,
and he's getting.
That's not
well. That
there
is
were
a good
no
point.
Extra base hits.
That's fine.
That's
yes, some of it can be explained by BABIP. He had 2 swinging strikes on his fastball, which were the first 2 he's had in 3 starts. He had no command. Everything
sounds like you're more than a 5.
Everything was belt. No, I'm a 5 because if he keeps pitching this way, I don't think he can be much more than an average pitch best. I'm not a 10 because I don't know why this is happening, and I have to assume that at some point it will get better. But if it doesn't, I'm absolutely, there's no way you can't not be concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, like, the second start is now the outlier.
Well,
he had 12 swinging strikes on 76 pitches in his first start. He had 10 swinging strikes on 76 pitches in his second start. Mm-hmm. He has not been Chris Sale. He has also been I would say very unlucky.
Well,
this is the problem when we just throw BABIP and say, well, it's just bad luck. When you pitch poorly, you will also give up more hits, and he's pitching poorly.
Right, he's giving up a lot of ground ball singles.
Okay.
He gave up a lot of ground ball singles in yesterday's start. He gave up, 3 home runs in the first one?
Yes. Yeah, so let me just jump in. He's only given up one extra base hit, Chris Sale, in his last two starts. So that is encouraging. But, you know, you talk about the swinging strikes. It's obviously not what we expect from Chris Sale. We expect better than that. But also, it's just not coming on the fastball, which is something Chris alluded to. He's just not getting whiffs on the fastball. Chris Sale has a fastball problem. I think we can sum that. I think we can say that. The question on how worried you are about him is whether or not you think that fastball velocity is coming back and when it's going to happen. So I know, Heath, you made a Chris Sale trade offer last night. And please tell us what it was.
I offered Aaron Nola and Odubel Herrera for Chris Sale and Starling Marte.
Yeah, well,
which is, that's an answer trade.
No,
you recognize that.
I put it on Twitter to see what general consensus
because
was.
Because you didn't think it was a good trade.
It was about 55-45 in favor of the Chris Sale side.
Right, because everyone's reactionary.
Well, the
Chris
key
Sale
there,
owners are reactionary too.
The key there is that Odubel Herrera is. He's off to a good start, but he's not much of a fantasy asset. And Marte is. Would you? I would.
That's not true.
That is. He
You've
is
always
not
hated
asset.
Odubel Herrera
because he's not never, good. Because he's not good.
He is good.
This is an argument
he's
that I have clearly
good.
Won in the past. We've had a lot of arguments. Odubel Herrera is definitely one for Adam Azer, no question. That guy is not a good fantasy asset. Starling Marte. I think I'd rather have Starling Marte than Chris Sale. Straight up. How about you guys?
I mean, you look in a roto draft.
Yes or
there
no?
There was probably about...
Yes or no?
Two rounds?
Marte or Sale?
No, I'd rather have Sale.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd rather
There's
have Sale, too.
There's more upside there.
All right.
Like, it's not like Starling Marte's been good.
No, but I expect him
He's
to be...
He's been awful.
Fine. Zach Greinke on the Worryometer.
Two?
Yeah. I think one.
Okay. We can move on. Yeah, struck out
nine. He wasn't really very bad in his last start. He's got a lot of strikeouts in his last two.
Yeah, it's just home runs. 42.9% home run to fly ball rate.
Yeah, speaking of which, Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola right now has a 6.46 ERA, 8 walks, 13 strikeouts, 5 homers allowed in 15 and a third, and he is giving up a lot of long balls. Worryometer on Aaron Nola.
Two?
Yeah, two. He's pitched worse than Zach Greinke for sure. Zach Greinke's probably had a bit of bad luck. But I think the track record for Nola at this point is too strong to overreact to 3 starts.
Steven Strasburg gave up 2 home runs yesterday. He has a 5.40 ERA, 7 walks at 20 strikeouts. His first 2 home runs of the season, by the way. In 16 and two-thirds, 20 strikeouts. That's excellent. Definitely not throwing as hard as he used to throw. I want to say he's got the lowest velocity of his career. Steven Strasburg, Worryometer.
His velocity is down about 1.5 miles per hour from last season, which is his previous low. So that's a little concerning, but not terribly. I would say, again, a 2.
1. Phillies got to him yesterday. He threw 6 2/3 shutout innings in his start before that. He had 17 strikeouts and 12 2/3 innings before this start. I'm not worried about him. It was a bad start.
All right, so we're not really worried about these pitchers. Very low scores for Greinke and Nola and Strasburg. Obviously some concern with Chris Sale, but if you're not giving up Sale straight up for Starling Marte, who was a 3rd or 4th round pick in a roto league, then you can't be that concerned about Chris Sale. Hitters on the Worryometer, and I expect some low scores here. Jose Ramirez, you know it's like the most frustrating thing in fantasy. Let's say for me. Okay, you own Jose Ramirez. I own him in 2 leagues. And you see the Indians put up 8 runs, and they've hit some homers, and you're thinking, oh, Jose Ramirez must have had a huge day. Well, he went 0-for-4. He's now batting 171 with no home runs, 2 doubles, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, 3 steals. Worryometer on Jose Ramirez.
I'm worried that he's not going to hit 40 homers and steal 35 bases again. But I didn't necessarily expect him to do that anyway. I haven't seen much reason to believe the skill set has deteriorated.
Yeah, and he's already got 3 steals in 10 games. I would put him as a 1 just because I am a little bit worried, and I know it's maybe only a 5 to 10% difference. I'm a little bit worried the Indians are just awful, and he's not going to come close to the 215 run plus RBI. And so he's going to not be worth the pick you paid for him because of that. But I'm not worried about his actual performance.
Okay, that's Jose Ramirez. Justin Turner off to a slow start. 295 with only 1 extra base hit. And, yeah, you can see the numbers there. 396 OBP is great. But 13 strikeouts to 6 walks. So that's a pretty high strikeout rate for Justin Turner. Any concerns here? 0 to 10.
1. There's a chance that, you know, he is 34. So there's a chance that it just fell off for him in the offseason. But again, the track record's way too strong for me to write him off.
2.
Okay, yeah. This is a weak Worryometer Wednesday. How about Matt Carpenter? Batting 214 with 1 home run, 4 doubles in 11 games. He's 2 for 12 against lefties. Matt Carpenter, 0 to 10.
Heath is at a 0.
No, I'll give him a 2, just like Turner. But
he's older than – he's old.
He's younger than Turner.
Right, but he's old, relatively speaking. He's 33.
Yeah, right. So the guy's 33 and over, get a 2. But again, like, we've seen this from Matt Carpenter at the start of the year before, and he wasn't very good at the start of last year.
Still hitting the ball hard, so I don't see much reason to be concerned. I'll go with a 1.
Yeah, actually, his batted ball data, Carpenter's batted ball data, it's early, but it looks very, very similar to years past. He started first 35 games. Carpenter had a 5.58 OPS last year. He batted 140 in his first 35 games with 40 strikeouts. His next 79 games, 1154 OPS. He slugged 721. He hit 30 homers in 79 games. Okay, Andrew Benintendi on the Worryometer. He's batting 261. He has not homered. He has 2 doubles and a triple. He is 2 for 10 against lefties, but good news, 3 walks, 1 strikeout against left-handed pitchers. What do you think about Benintendi, 0 to 10?
1.
I will go... 4.
Hey, making it interesting. All right.
Just relative to where he was drafted, because I wasn't necessarily sure he was worth that draft spot to begin with.
That goes with everything that we've been saying about the start of the year. You're going to be higher on the Worryometer about guys that you thought that weren't as good as what everybody else did.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's always going to be confirmation bias at play, but what does stick out to me is while his average and his on-base percentage, looking at the last 81 game, his average and on-base percentage have been 290, 350, which is solid, but he's slugging 400 in that span. And from what I can gather, he's kind of stopped pulling the ball. And you're not relying on Andrew Benintendi to be a big-time power source, but he stopped hitting for power in the second half of last season. He hasn't been hitting for power so far. And we haven't seen any other gains because of that. Like, it's not like he's striking out less in this span or hitting for a better average. Like, it does seem that there does appear to have been some kind of shift in the way he's approaching his plate appearances that hasn't led to good production. And I've seen a lot of Red Sox fans talking about.
It does, according to Fangraphs, look like his pull percentage this year is 6 points higher than it was last year and okay. 10 points higher than it was in 2017.
Okay.
So it's not worked, but he has been pulling the ball at least, and he's been hitting it in the air more. It's just, well, that's not actually true. He's hit more fly balls, less line drives. It's too early, and there's not any flashing red light, so I'm fine.
Well, for me, it's just, I thought he needed to take a little bit of a step forward to be worth this. He just doesn't hit the ball hard. And until he takes a step forward that way, I think there's kind of a ceiling on what he can get.
So this is Andrew Benintendi we're talking about. And just to wrap it up on Benintendi, he's only played one home game. Last year, he was a top 10 outfielder, 7th in points, 9th in roto, and he made his money at home. He batted 314, slugged 498 at home. He batted 263 on the road. So hopefully some home cooking helps him. And I don't hope so. But hopefully it helps the Red Sox as well, who are obviously off to a really bad start. And that is your Worryometer. And we've got some good things to talk about, like Max Fried and Anthony Swarzak and Austin Meadows. Those are the guys who really stood out to me yesterday. I'll ask Heath and Chris for their standouts as well. I just want to remind you about our Masters coverage. Yeah, getting started tomorrow with the Masters. Go to cbssports.com/Masters First Cut and make sure you're watching CBS Sports HQ. How about this? Just if you're into golf, if you're into the Masters, watch CBS Sports HQ this week and you will see the type of coverage that we have on HQ. It's just so much better than what you're getting on your cable networks and, you know, all the other talking heads out there. So download the CBS Sports app and you can watch it. You can stream HQ for free. Put it on your Roku, put it on your Apple TV or Amazon Fire, whatever. And also listen to our podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, but Stitcher's great. They do a great job promoting our content. We're one of the most popular shows on Stitcher. Apple Podcasts, of course. Please leave us a review. Be very helpful. 5 stars. Nice comment. It'd be great. And Spotify. You can follow us on Spotify now. You can listen to our shows on Spotify. All right, let's do the Tuesday standouts, guys. I will talk about Max Fried. A little confused. You can't complain about the 2 starts. Total of 12 innings, 6 hits, 1 unearned run, 9 strikeouts in those 12 innings against the Cubs at home and at Colorado yesterday. So obviously positive developments for Fried. But minor league track record is not great. He seems to be cutting down the walks. That's really good. The strikeouts, that's what stands out. 9 strikeouts in 12 innings in these 2 starts. So I can't leave him on waivers at this point. He's 62% owned. But what are your expectations for Max Fried?
Heath, you like him more.
I don't really. I mostly just picked him up because Adam was tweeting about him and it was a 16-team league. We didn't start him this week.
I
thought that the upside for Max Fried revolved around him striking out a lot of batters, and he has not done that so far. The thing that concerns me about him, and I do think there's still potential there. The Braves have dozens of arms with potential. The thing that concerns me is they came into this season with the plan / expectation that Max Fried was going to be their long man in the bullpen. And so I don't know that he has as long of leash when things do go wrong. And if he keeps striking out 6 per 9 innings, things are going to go wrong at some point. I don't mind using him for now, but my expectations are that he's probably going to end up at the bullpen at some point this year.
One thing that I do want to watch with him the next time he makes a start is he's introduced a slider this season. He's thrown about 20 of them, and it's been his second best swing and miss pitch. His curveball is really good, but curves aren't necessarily amazing swing and miss pitches, and so if he can get another pitch that he can get whiffs on, that'll be something that could potentially help fix this problem, but it's early. He's only thrown 20 of them.
Well, also, Max Fried does get a lot of ground balls. A lot of ground balls. Mm-hmm. So that's working in his favor. If you're not going to strike guys out, you got to get some ground balls, and he's doing that. And one more positive thing on Fried, if you're in a daily, and Heath, I didn't start him either. I have him in, I think, four of my six leagues. I didn't start him this week either at Colorado and home against the Mets. I'll probably start him this weekend against the Mets. He'll probably get crushed. But at Cleveland next week, so if you pick up Max Fried at Cleveland. I would definitely drop Freddy Peralta for Max Fried. Would you guys?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think I would either.
Okay. Peralta's like 90% owned.
It feels a little too high. Crushed
yesterday. Fried is, by the way, the most added player. I'd drop Matt Shoemaker for Max Fried.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jordan Zimmermann
for Max Fried. Sure. Okay, Anthony Swarzak, I'm just going through my standouts real quick. Anthony Swarzak, 42% owned. He probably is the Mariners closer. He's gotten each of their last 2 saves. He got one yesterday. Is he good enough, Anthony Swarzak?
He's good enough to keep that job with the other options in the Seattle Mariners bullpen.
I think it just depends on if he's healthy. You know, before last year, he was really, really good in 2017, and then he just could not stay healthy in 2018. If he's healthy and he's right, I think he could keep that job, yeah.
And then I'm going to give you 2 players who are owned in right around 68% of leagues, and I want you to tell me if you think they're more like they should be universally owned. Austin Meadows, who went 4-for-5 with a home run and a steal. He's batting .308 with 3 homers and 2 steals. He has sat against 3 of 4 lefties, though, Austin Meadows. And Dansby Swanson homered yesterday in Coors Field. So Meadows and Swanson, big standouts. Swanson, the second most added player in fantasy behind Max Fried. Meadows, I don't know if his ownership percentage is going up much, but people are excited about him. What do you guys think about Meadows and Swanson?
I wrote about this morning, and I think it's hilarious because Meadows yesterday had a .235 average, was sitting against lefties in like a .760 OPS, and there was really no reason to be interested in one game. That's what April can do for you. I'm more interested in Swanson just because in a league where I need a middle infielder, I thought he was worth drafting anyway, and for some reason he wasn't drafted in all those leagues. I don't know that either of these guys are going to crack a starting rotation in a standard points league, but Meadows could be a good fifth outfielder, and Swanson could be a very good middle infielder.
Yeah, Meadows is really tough to figure out because he's someone that, for the most part, scouts have always pretty much liked a lot more than the actual production, especially once he got to AAA, things really fell off. He had a 768 OPS in 178 games at AAA. I think he has, in the best case scenario, I think he has the better fantasy profile than Dansby Swanson, because Dansby Swanson's not really going to run very much, so you're going to need the bat to carry a lot more. Whereas Meadows does have 15 to 20 stolen base potential, maybe a little bit more.
And he leads off when he plays Austin Meadows. I think he leads off pretty regularly against righties. I could be wrong about that. I'm sorry. Swanson hits toward the bottom of the order. I want to find out who Chris and Heath have as standouts from Tuesday's games. We'll take a quick break on Fantasy Baseball Today. We also have to talk about Luis Severino, John Lester, Hyunjin Ryu, Mike Clevenger. Big pitcher news that came out yesterday. We will get to it in just a second, and we'll be right back.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Guys, who stood out to you in Tuesday's games?
Let's talk about the Reds. They broke out in a big way, helped along by the Marlins' two worst pitchers, Jose Urania and Wei-Yin Chen. But Jesse Winker hit a home run and had two hits. So that's very promising, even if it was against, you know, maybe the worst combination of pitchers that the Marlins could throw out there. And then we also have to talk about Luis Castillo, who's been just outstanding so far this season. 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, 2 hits, 7 innings yesterday. He has an 0.92 ERA to start the season. He's getting a ton of swinging strikes. The changeup has looked as good as ever. He's not necessarily doing anything different. Like, his pitch mix is pretty much the same. He's throwing his changeup a little more, his sinker a little less. That's good.
Right.
I would expect there will be a bad start at some point, but
there were.
It's been about as it's been as promising of a start as you could have hoped for Luis Castillo, especially if you were buying him as a breakout.
There are two things, because he was going to be my standout, and I'll find somebody else while I talk. But the two things that I noticed when looking at his page, first off, his swinging strike rate's like 17% right now. It's absurd. Second, when he was good in 2017, he had a 58% ground ball rate. That fell to 45-46% last year, which isn't bad, but it's not elite. It's 57% so far this year. With his ability to miss bats, if he can just be over 50%, that's going to really help him break out.
Yeah, I was looking at Ken Giles' numbers yesterday. He had like a 51% contact rate going into last season. That's percentage of pitches that hit or swing at that they make contact with. And 51%, even for a reliever, is really, really good. Luis Castillo's at 57% right now, which is wholly unsustainable, but just goes to show you how dominant he's been so
far. Yeah, but right. So, I mean, I love you, Luis Castillo. I'm excited about it, but I did think he was going to start throwing a breaking ball a little bit more and becoming a three-pitch pitcher. I talked about it yesterday, so I don't want to belabor the point, but I do have trouble trusting two-pitch pitchers, especially right-handers. If you're going to be a two-pitch pitcher, Castillo might be able to pull it off because his pitches, he throws so hard and his changeup is so good. I also want to point out he has faced the Pirates and the Marlins. He also had a very good start against the Brewers, but he has had two of his three matchups been pretty good. Is this a sell high opportunity, or do you want to just hang on to Luis Castillo? Do you want to just hold Luis Castillo, see where this goes?
I don't think, I made this joke about someone yesterday, but I don't think the three amazing starts that he's had so far really tell us anything about what he's going to do in the future, because he's been so inconsistent. We've seen stretches like this from him before. So I don't know what's actionable one way or the other. If somebody wants to give you, I don't know, Jose Barrios for him, I think you do that. But you know, I'm not sure how high someone's willing to go with a guy like Luis Castillo. There may be one guy who's just mad that they didn't get to draft him, believes he's a superstar, and will overpay. Because I don't think his value has changed too much so far.
I will say that I know you guys would do this, but I personally would not give up Luis Castillo for Chris Sale. But I bet some people who have Castillo and want Sale could execute that trade, like maybe 20% of the time the Chris Sale owner would click accept. I just have a, I have I have a concern that Chris Sale is going to go on the IL. That's just,
I do too.
And I, you know, I just, that's my concern.
I was living and dying with every single pitch Chris Sale threw yesterday.
A lot of fun.
I was literally analyzing like each pitch.
Yeah.
But no.
Which is super informative.
Luis Castillo does not have the upside that Chris Sale
obviously,
does.
Obviously not. I'm afraid of Chris Sale.
Sure, but I'm a little bit afraid of Luis Castillo, too. He wasn't that good last year.
I will say Castillo has moved into my top 25 starting pitchers now, mostly because everyone outside of the top 20 has been absolutely a mystery to find out. And I think he goes in the same range still as someone like Shane Bieber, and it's right behind that Jose Barrios, Jameson Taillon range for me.
Okay, so let's do rank them. Rank these three pitchers. They all pitched yesterday. Herman Marquez got crushed by the Braves in Coors Field, his first home start. Luis Castillo and Charlie Morton. How would you rank Herman Marquez, Luis Castillo, and Charlie Morton, who is just not pitching deep into games, which is pretty strange right now. He hasn't pitched six innings yet, or no more than six innings.
He doesn't.
Well, but this is like 93 pitches yesterday. I think that was his season high, so they're really treating him with kid gloves. But Marquez, Castillo, Morton, guys, real quick, rank them, please.
So Marquez's PR guy, Scott White, was on Twitter last night pointing out that he had a 1 ERA in his final seven starts at Coors Field last season, so he is not concerned. I'm a little concerned. I didn't quite have the same expectations, so I would probably still rank them Marquez, Castillo, Morton, but I think it's pretty close. I think they have very similar skill sets.
I would go Castillo, Marquez, Morton.
All right, Heath, you got a standout from yesterday?
Well, I had Luis Castillo. Is it too early to talk about Richard Lovelady?
No, please talk about Richard Lovelady.
Richard Lovelady is in the major leagues, and he made his debut, and it's fantastic. He is a reliever for the Royals, who have no relievers that are even kind of good.
Show some respect to Ian Kennedy.
Ian Kennedy's awful. So is Willy Peralta. So is Brad Boxberger. Richard Lovelady is not. He pitched a scoreless clean inning last night, struck out two hitters, and if the Royals are going to have a closer this year, he's the guy I would bet on. I picked him up in a dynasty league. I picked him up in an AL-only league, and I picked him up in one mixed categories league.
Awesome.
They've got some great names in that bullpen.
Yes.
I just saw Glenn Sparkman.
Sparkman
would be a better name for like a slap hitting leadoff hitter, but still pretty good.
Boxberger.
Yeah. It's a pretty good name.
Lovelady.
That's very good.
Yeah. No, I'm
okay. Lovelady. 1% owned Richard Lovelady. All right. That brings us to some news. Pitcher problems. All right. Luis Severino is out until at least July. He has a lat strain in his shoulder. Bad news, for Severino. John Lester's on the IL with a hamstring injury. Hyunjin Ryu, we knew he's on the IL with a groin injury. And Mike Clevinger is not going to be able to pick up a baseball for 6 to 8 weeks. So he might have a similar timetable to Luis Severino. I'm trying to do the math in my head. 6 to 8 weeks, picks up a baseball in like mid-May, maybe.
I think July is the right answer.
Okay, yeah, so July for both those guys. All right, well, I mean, I was kind of dismissing Domingo Herman, but I guess this keeps him in the rotation unless they go out and sign someone. Are there any interesting options to replace Lester, maybe short-term, or Clevinger in the Cubs and Indians rotations, respectively?
I don't think so. Tyler Chatwood is probably going to replace Lester. He's not interesting even a little bit. The Indians do have a very interesting prospect in Tristan McKenzie, but he's shut down right now, I think, for the first 6 weeks of the season, so he may not be ready before Clevinger is. I'm not particularly excited about anyone that could replace these guys.
Yeah, no, and I do want to point out Dr. Brandon Bowers, who writes for Sportsline, he's a doctor of physical therapy, pointed out that the typical return to play timetable for a grade 2 lat strain for a pitcher is 100 days. So, yeah, like mid-July, but boy, I'm real worried about Luis Severino, even when he gets back.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance he just doesn't give you anything this year.
Probably never going to be good again.
Should be concerned.
I mean, that's how the whole fantasy community treated Carlos Martinez when he had a lat strain, so.
Oh, please. So we already told you why you were wrong about that yesterday, Chris.
You didn't.
We did. They were talking about him being moved to the bullpen, and he spent all of last year hurt as well. But I think with Severino, you know, like everybody saw with Syndergaard, basically the hardest throwing right-handed pitcher, couldn't stay healthy. Severino actually throws even harder than Syndergaard and did manage to stay healthy, but I guess it's a red flag. Somebody who throws that hard, maybe that means they're injury prone. Looking at you, Luis Castillo. Please avoid the curse. But it sucks. And Severino's out. Let me just get your thoughts on Domingo Ramon, guys. So far, he's given up 2 earned runs in 11 innings with 7 walks and 10 strikeouts against Detroit and at Baltimore. Do you think he's a guy that fantasy owners can rely on, Domingo Ramon?
Rely on? No. Yeah. I think he's somebody that's worth a speculative ad. The stuff is really good. He potentially has 4 above average swing and miss pitches. He hasn't shown consistency yet.
I think the best thing to do is rank Domingo Ramon amongst the Stallions.
Sure.
And Max Fried. Throw Max Fried in there too.
Max Fried's a little behind the Stallion.
What? He's behind Ramon.
Let's not be silly.
What? Really?
All of the Stallions?
Yeah. I mean, who knows which Stallion we're talking about?
Trevor Richards or Domingo Ramon?
Trevor Richards.
Pablo Lopez or Domingo Ramon?
Pablo Lopez. Domingo Ramon. Favorite of the Stallion.
Caleb Smith or Domingo Ramon?
I think the only one I might rank higher than him, or him higher than, is Sandy Alcantara.
I have Ramon second amongst the Stallions, only Trevor Richards ahead of him. Caleb Smith right behind him.
You hate the Marlins.
I don't, but I can't imagine caring about them enough to hate them.
You hate the Braves. Max Fried behind all the Stallions. All right, cool. Big news. Mike Trout, day-to-day with a groin strain. Don't get hurt, Mike Trout. Again, Kansas City called up Richard Lovelady. You know that. David Dahl is on the IL. David Dahl expects to be back when the 10 days are up. Mike Foltynewicz could return this weekend. All right, how about Mike Foltynewicz? How would you rank him? Or where would you rank him? Is he behind the Luis Castillo, Charlie Morton group?
Oh, yeah, way.
Yeah, I think he's ahead of the Ramon / the good Marlins pitchers range, but not in the Castillo range, I don't think.
Trey Turner could be out 4 to 6 weeks, according to The Athletic. I think that includes the time he's already missed, so maybe 3 to 5 more weeks. Marcelo Zuna made a hilariously bad play in left field. It was awesome. Please look it up.
I'm sure Cardinals fans reacted appropriately.
Jeremy Jeffress had a terrible rehab outing. Just a rehab outing. It was his first. And Clayton Kershaw had a good rehab outing. He gave up 2 earned runs in 6 innings with 6 strikeouts and is probably going to pitch this weekend for the Dodgers. It's time for Hey Real Quick. Here we go. Hey Real Quick. And remember, the segment's called Hey Real Quick. Hey Real Quick. Yoan Moncada or Mike Moustakas?
Well, no. Moncada.
Really?
Yep. I don't really have to think too hard about it.
I do have Moncada ranked higher rest of season in roto leagues. I am not quite sold that this is real yet. Has he faced more than one lefty yet?
Hey, real quick, Heath.
Yeah, I think he has. I'll
take Moustakas still in points.
My thing with Moncada is if he were to have a breakout, this is what it would look like. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be sustainable, but he's been more aggressive. He's making hard contact, which he always has. And so my thing was always he just had to start swinging because he's been patient to a fault so far, and he hasn't allowed his natural abilities to carry him.
All right. And then, hey, real quick, D. Gordon or Malik Smith?
I'll still take Malik's.
Yeah, I didn't consider them too far apart before the season, but probably Malik still.
I think that this is one of two situations where the teams, you can't rule out the possibility that they flip-flop the 1 and 9 hitters. Because right now, Malik Smith is leading off, and he's ice cold, and D. Gordon is batting ninth, and he looks like D. Gordon. Okay, he's got, I think, his 6 steals so far. And the other one is Washington, where Victor Robles, I think he's just probably a better hitter than Adam Eaton. Might be a little premature to say that, but Robles had another good game yesterday. Eaton finally doubled. but he went 1-for-5. So just something to keep in mind, because Gordon's batting ninth, Smith first. If they flip flop, that's probably going to change our answer to this D. Gordon versus Malik Smith debate.
Yeah, and I will just say that, like, Malik Smith is only hitting .216. His BABIP's 80 points lower than his career average. So I think he's probably okay.
D. Gordon, by the way, I mean, you talk about the value of steals and the value of lineup placement in different formats. Right now, he is the number 11 second baseman in points leagues and number 2 in Roto. All right, to the bullpen. Edubre Ramos blew a save for the Phillies. Pat Neshek and David Robertson were unavailable. Hector Neris pitched the 8th. Welcome to the Phillies. Jose Alvarado got one out in the 8th inning. He came in with the team leading 8-4 and the bases loaded in 2 outs. He walked in a run, and then he got out of the inning. I would say that's how a closer would be used. High leverage situation in the 8th. He didn't get a save.
I know, but he got the save.
He saved the game.
I'm surprised they didn't leave him in. The Rays scored 2 runs in the top of the 9th to make it 10-5. They brought in Adam Kolarik. Whatever. Alvarado basically used as the closer. Matt Barnes used in a non-save situation, trailing late in the game, gave up a run in 2/3 of an inning. Is Ryan Brazier, who would you rather have, Brazier or Barnes?
The joy in your voice saying that Matt Barnes was used in a non-save situation, like, you are so invested in Ryan Brazier being the Red Sox closer. I would say right now he's going to lead the team in saves, but they don't actually have a closer.
That's what you think? That's how it came off? Because I was Team Brazier in the preseason, you know, spring
You're
training.
You're glowing.
No.
Right now.
I'm
You're
not.
Glowing.
I mean, you have a glow.
Because I let you get Brazier for $2. I put a $1 bid on him, and I'm still mad about it in the Roto League. So mad. Jose Leclerc gave up 3 runs. He had given up no runs in 4 1/3 before that. He's fine. And Blake Parker came in the 8th, in the 7th inning, got an out in the 7th and out in the 8th at the Mets. So welcome to the Twins, 2019. Yeah. Okay, lots to get to, and we won't get to all of it because I suck at putting shows together. Quick round of emails. Why am I reading emails 36 minutes into the show? These are good emails about important players. And we're going to read those emails in just a second. We'll be right back. Final break on Fantasy Baseball Today.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. That's our email address, FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. All right, from Tyler. I tried to ignore Travis Shaw's horrendous spring with all the strikeouts, but it seems to have carried over into the season, and I'm concerned. How do you guys feel about Travis Shaw? What should I do?
This would have been a good guy to put in the worryometer. What I will just say is, and I do this with a lot of guys, but Travis Shaw had a stretch in 2017 where he went 98 plate appearances and hit .167. He had a stretch in 2018 where he went 75 plate appearances and hit .174. It hasn't been long enough for me to change my opinion of Travis Shaw.
He struck out 41 times in his last 100 plate appearances.
Counting spring training.
I mean, it's not like he's...
Well, the spring training thing, they kind of talked about that. They tried to play him against lefties as much as possible to help him get comfortable against lefties. It didn't work.
Sure, but it is still true that he has. Because it'd be one thing if he struck out a ton in spring training and then just came in and was kind of cold but wasn't striking out very much. He has a 33% strikeout rate so far, and his contact rate is way down as well. I'm not. Five.
Maybe he just forgot how to hit at 28.
Yeah, 5.
Nah, I mean, look, I think this is probably a decent buy low opportunity. I'll just say two things. One, he struck out 7 times in the last 2 games. So, you know, it looks worse than it did before.
I think 2 days ago, his walk rate and his strikeout rate were the same.
It was seven
and
walks.
Now he's
nine
struck out twice as often as he's walked.
Right, exactly. And I guess what you just said about the spring training stuff, which I didn't know, doesn't give me a ton of confidence that he's going to play every day against lefties. The Brewers have only faced two lefties. One of those games, Travis Shaw sat. One of those games, Mike Moustakas sat. All right, moving on to Will's email. Why aren't you buying Colton Wong? His fly ball rate is up. His hard hit rate is up. The ground ball rate is down. If you're buying Dansby Swanson's breakout, why not Colton Wong?
Dansby Swanson's hitting the ball pretty hard so far. He has 92.7 mile per hour average exit velocity, 12.8% barrel rate. Colton Wong has an 83.3 mile per hour average exit velocity. And
that's bad.
It's not quite right. D. Gordon, but if he did it for a full season, it would be among the worst in baseball.
He has been really weird in that he has a lot of hard contact and a lot of very, very, very soft contact. I would not expect him to have a 32% soft contact rate the rest of the year, but he's never had anywhere close to a 40% hard contact rate. So
guys,
it's just nothing makes sense.
I'm going to give you one total minute for the next four emails. Here we go. Mike in Nueva York. Who would you rather have, Charlie Blackmon or Andrew Benintendi?
Blackmon.
I'll still say Benintendi.
Thank you. Very helpful. From Nick, should I drop Cesar Hernandez for Jorge Polanco?
It's fine.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Polanco's off to a really good start, but he seems more like a points league guy than a roto league guy. This is a categories league that he was talking about. I'd still think you'd do it. From Kyle, are you encouraged or discouraged by Byron Buxton's start to the season? I can't decide. And I'll tell you, Buxton's batting .292, hasn't homered, but he's hit five doubles, and he has three steals and three attempts, one walk, six strikeouts. This actually flew under the radar for me. Are you encouraged or discouraged by Byron Buxton's start?
He is hitting the ever-loving crap out of the ball right now. 96.2 average exit velocity miles per hour. I'm encouraged. I'm not ready to say he's a stud or anything close, but he's showing stuff he hasn't before.
I'm unmoved.
And finally from Luke, should I trade Tatis for Profar straight up in a categories league?
No.
I don't know why you would do
no.
that.
No.
Profar's been bad.
No.
Profar
had four hits yesterday.
He did.
Okay, he's had one good game.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe two. I don't know, because his numbers were did we brought him up yesterday? Right, his numbers were awful.
They're still awful after the four hit game.
Yes, but yesterday was a day of firsts. Miguel Cabrera got an extra base hit. Jesse Winker homered. Jurickson Profar homered. Jonathan Scope hit his first two home runs of the season, and Tommy La Stella hit two home runs. He has homered in consecutive games for the first time in his career. He is an Angel second baseman. He does not matter.
That could have gone in the let's go streaking section.
Okay, you know what? Let's go right to we're going streaking. Jacob DeGrom's quality start streak has stopped at 26 consecutive. He did not break the record. He is tied with Bob Gibson for the MLB record, 26 straight quality starts. Whit Merrifield has a 30-game hit streak. We got a text from Heath Cummings last night. What did it say? The wit streak needs to be on the podcast tomorrow. Of course it does, right? Well, it's on the podcast, Heath. Whit Merrifield, currently the number five second baseman in points, number seven in Roto. 30-game hitting streak, and is tied with George Brett for the longest in Royals history.
Good.
Yeah, I think 30 is when you start paying attention to hit streaks, because there will be numerous 15 and 20-game hit streaks. And yes, this goes back to last year, and yes, that still counts.
I mean, you know, he got a 6-month break.
He's got an
real nice
8.9% strikeout rate so far this year.
He's very good.
He is a very, very good hitter, and I hope he gets to 40.
Okay, the must-read article of the day is Scott's 12 Hitters to Stash article. Good stuff there. I think you're going to enjoy it. One of those is Williams Astudillo, and we were alerted to a website by Nick in Chicago. Is La Tortuga in the lineup.com? It's very fun, and it will take you only a second. Go to is La Tortuga in the lineup.com. I want you guys to know real quick that the whole frog dog rhyme thing is actually somewhat of a popular debate on the internet, I believe. So, getting a lot more support than I Adam, was at the beginning for this.
There's a lot of really popular debates on the internet.
There's also a lot of things baseball related that we need to talk about. Yeah, we need to move on.
You're right. What is Cody Bellinger's value right now? He is batting 440 with 7 home runs, 1 steal, 6 walks, 6 strikeouts. He is 6 I got the wrong stats on lefties because he's definitely not 6 for 6. He might be 6 for 16. But he's off to a very good start against lefties. What is Cody Bellinger's value right now? What do you think?
In my opinion, he is a top 6 first baseman, a top 15 outfielder. I have moved him ahead of Joey Votto and Jose Abreu since the start of the season.
His strikeout rate is really, really low, right?
Yep, really. 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's a... Is that like 11% yes. strikeout rate for Cody Bellinger? That's incredible. He is as locked in as we've ever seen him. His average exit velocity is 95.9 miles per hour. He is... It's wild. I think you have to have bumped him up, but you also should have factored in a breakout in your preseason ranking as well.
Or at least the possibility. Yeah, like breakout. I'm not going to trade him. I'd have to get a first-round pick for him. I think he could be the story of the season, you know? I think he could be the man. Obviously, you all know how I feel about Cody Bellinger, but would you be looking to make offers right now if you had Cody Bellinger? Would you try to get a Starling Marte? No, that's not good enough. Would you try to get...
Yeah, Heath.
Go ahead.
Heath. Would you trade Cody Bellinger for Andrew Benintendi? You'd get Benintendi. I don't think there's any way you could do it.
Well, were you asking me a question? Or
yeah.
Okay.
But I'm also giving my opinion because it's a two-way street.
I think in a points league, I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would
in a points league, I believe I would.
I wouldn't trade him for Chris Sale. I would not give up Bellinger for Sale. But who would?
Yeah, I think I would.
Who would? You would?
I would have a really hard time doing that. And for me, it's just like I said earlier, I just don't know that you can do anything with Chris Sale.
Okay, well, that is his value, and I wanted to get some more trades in there. So let's grade the trade. Today's teacher theme song, you know, I got to be honest with you, these are recycled from last year, but I still get a kick out of it. And All right, we're teachers. We're grading trades. Get your red pen out. From Nathan, dear Charlie, Patrick, and Sam. I don't know them.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I traded Chris Archer for Zach Wheeler and Yu Darvish.
B+.
Yeah, I think it's a B.
Yeah, would you rather have Wheeler straight up or Darvish?
I would rather have Wheeler right now.
Yeah. I'd rank them Archer, Wheeler, Darvish, but the two are worth more than the one.
If Charlie, Patrick, and Sam are from The Perks of Being a Wallflower, that is a strange reference, but
yeah,
it is a great.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never read the book, but I love the movie.
The movie's really good. Yeah. I liked the book too.
Yeah, I don't read books. From Andrew, grade the trade: Corey Seager and Eloy Jimenez. I give up Corey Seager and Eloy Jimenez. I get Jay Almuto. I like that, and Victor Robles in a categories league.
I think that's an A.
Heath.
B.
From Blaine, grade the trade. I give up Springer and Travis Shaw. I get Jose Ramirez and Gregory Polanco.
A.
C.
Polanco. C. What's Polanco's ownership? He should be stashed.
It's right around 60-70%. I think he's playing in rehab games, hopefully by this weekend.
Right. I mean, you're getting the best player in the deal and the worst player in the deal.
I don't know.
I think it's a C.
I don't know if Polanco's the worst player in the deal. I mean, because he's not healthy right now, I think.
And he's never been as good as we thought he would be.
Sure, like, but he wasn't. Was he worse than Travis Shaw on a per-game basis last year? I don't think so.
Gregor Polanco hit .254 with 20. I bet he was. 23 homers, 12 steals. But one thing I noticed about him is that he hit more fly balls and he hit the ball harder. And that is the recipe for a breakout, a recipe for a breakout. But I would love him if he weren't coming off the shoulder injury. Sure. You gotta downgrade him with the injury. Okay, grade the trade from Ian. 14 team head-to-head categories league. Give up Gary Sanchez and Max Muncy. Sanchez and Muncy. Get Trey Turner and Yasmani Grandal.
I think that's a E.
B plus.
I think it'd be an awesome trade if Trey Turner was healthy.
Wait, you said it's a what, Chris?
D. Oh,
D. And I said B plus.
D as in...
So we do not agree at all.
Yeah, I think I would do it. Turner is so much better than Sanchez. Wait out the month. I'd do it.
Right, but...
C plus.
There's also a possibility. Like, I don't know if 2017 Gary Sanchez, you know, is that much worse than Trey Turner minus 4 to 6 weeks. And we're getting some signs that Gary Sanchez looks more like 2016 or 2017 than 2018.
He's definitely going to be better than 2018. Maybe I'm just kind of seduced by the start that Trey Turner got off to and how aggressive he was on the base paths. But, okay, fine. We're all in the middle. Chris says D. I say C plus. Heath says B. Let's do some news and notes real quick. Alex Bregman tweaked his hamstring. Thinks he'll be fine. Dustin Pedroia returned. Miguel Andujar is going to try to throw today. The Nationals signed Bud Norris to a minor league deal. That doesn't matter. Alex Cobb is on the IL with a lumbar strain. It doesn't matter. Billy Hamilton scored from second base on a sacrifice fly. It was a deep sacrifice fly. And Chris Archer is suspended 5 games. And Yasiel Puig is suspended 2 games. And Puig began serving the suspension yesterday, which is a shame because he didn't get to beat up on the Marlins. And Chris Archer is going to appeal his suspension. I did rank them part one with Marquez, Castillo, and Morton. Let's rank them part two. Marco Gonzalez, Freddy Peralta, and Joey Lucchesi. How would you rank Marco Gonzalez, Freddy Peralta, and Joey Lucchesi?
You already did.
I think I'd put Lucchesi above Peralta.
That is the correct answer. Gonzalez 1, Lucchesi 2, Peralta 3.
Well, you hate Freddy Peralta.
He has
Marco Gonzalez one pitch is on pitcher. Pace for like 30 wins, guys.
I don't like two-pitch pitchers. Freddy Peralta is a one-pitch pitcher.
Yeah, his margin for error is super slim. Like, when he's on, he'll be awesome, but there are going to be a lot of starts where he just gets rocked, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you'll be able to tell when one is coming and the other is.
I want to say something about Marco Gonzalez. He has only 16 strikeouts in 25 and two-thirds. Obviously a terrible rate. Last year, 145 strikeouts and 166 and two-thirds. He's not going to be a strikeout guy. But so far, Gonzalez has made 4 starts. He's 4-0. He has faced, all 4 of the teams he's faced are in the bottom 8 in strikeouts per game. So, and that they don't strike out a lot. So that, I think, explains the even lower than usual strikeout rate for Marco Gonzalez. Some leftovers from yesterday. Corey Kluber pitched quite well. 1 earned run, 2 runs total, 8 strikeouts at Detroit, bouncing back from a brutal start against the White Sox. And Ross Stripling pitched, and he's been less than great. He's been okay so far this year. He's got a 3.78 ERA, 5 walks, 15 strikeouts, and 16 and two-thirds. Yesterday, not so good. Anything to say about Kluber and Stripling?
Kluber's good. Stripling, or Kluber's great. Stripling, I think, is good, but... No, there are some questions still, despite how very good he was last year.
Yeah, he's not been as good as he was last year, and we weren't sure he was as good as he was last year, so that's a little bit concerning.
I think Stripling's value is tough to gauge. How long is he in the rotation? Obviously,
as we've seen, I think he's just going to be in the rotation more often than not.
He's got a lot of cushion because when Kershaw was coming back, it was Urias that was going to leave the rotation until Ryu got hurt.
Right.
So when the first of Rich Hill or Hyunjin Ryu come back, whichever one it is, Stripling's still in the rotation. He's going to need Kershaw, Rich Hill, and Hyunjin Ryu to all be healthy before he loses a spot.
And, I mean, Walker Buehler's a pitcher too.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Fringe
there will starting, be opportunities.
Fringy starting pitchers. Matt Shoemaker. He's 82% owned. I put him in here. He must be... Oh, is he a 2-star pitcher this week? I got him as a 2-star pitcher next week, but I could be wrong about that. Shoemaker, look, he wasn't that bad. Gave up 4 runs, 2 earned runs at Boston. He has a 0.92 ERA right now. Then we have Jordan Zimmermann. Stupid.
This is the problem with the, it's going to be easy to stream two start pitchers this week because he looked like the perfect candidate. I streamed him in a couple of different leagues, and sometimes bad pitchers are bad against bad offenses.
And Mike Minor, actually, Mike Minor might not be so bad. He's 48% owned. 7 innings, 2 runs at the Diamondbacks yesterday, only 5 strikeouts. Final 17 starts of the 2018 season for Mike Minor, he had a 3.23 ERA and a .99 whip. 2.22 BABIP helped, and he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. So I don't know. Like, how would you compare Mike Minor to Trevor Cahill?
I'd rather have Cahill.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. They're really close, and there are two guys that I have not updated in my rankings yet, and I probably need to move up a little from where I had. I don't necessarily expect either of them to get anywhere close to 180 innings over the year. I think I'd rather have Minor.
And then the last guy I have in fringy starting pitchers is Dakota Hudson. So when you look at Matt Shoemaker, Jordan Zimmermann, Mike Minor, Dakota Hudson, who stands out to you? Are there any must-own guys here?
Shoemaker would still be my favorite.
I agree. Yesterday was the perfect encapsulation of the Matt Shoemaker experience. He got 7 swinging strikes on 27 splitters and 0 swinging strikes on 66 other pitches. He has one good pitch, and when he throws that pitch a lot, good things tend to happen. He needs to throw it more than he does.
Dakota Hudson's line right now is just absolutely awesome. He has a 2.79 ERA and a 7.22 FIP. He has stranded 100% of the runners that have reached, but he's also given up a 3.45 BABIP. It's just outstanding. I love April stat lines.
60% home run to fly ball rate. What's really interesting about him is there is some Dallas Keuchel potential here. He needs to get the control better, but he is both going back to the minors and in his limited time in the majors, an extreme ground ball pitcher. 62.2% in his very limited major league time, but he was consistently 57 to 58% in the minors.
So, deep leagues real quick. We'll finish the show here. Good job, guys. Good pace today. Do you have any interest in these guys? They're all owned in 26% of leagues or fewer less. 26% or less. Mitch Moreland, 20%. Mitch Garver, 10%. Oh, this could have been like... never mind. I could have used the word Mitch to make it clever. Yeah. Mitch Moreland, Mitch Garver, Chad Pinder, Brett Anderson, Derek Holland.
I think Moreland and Pinder are probably just daily league guys, but you can make an argument that they should both be owned more than they are currently because they should be good when they play.
Moreland, Garver, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moreland and Pinder. And then Garver is a catcher with a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think Garver should be better than he's been so far, and he wasn't awful for a catcher last year. I mean, he had like a 750 OPS. You look at his career, and he only strikes out 22% of the time, and he's got like close to a 40% hard contact rate in 363 plate appearances. The problem is he needs to go away so Williams Estudillo can play all the time.
Or they just need to play him La Tortuga in center field.
Center field?
That's a terrible idea.
Like, just let him pitch.
And just play him every day somewhere.
Derek Holland is 16% owned, and we liked him this week. He had 2 home starts. He's got Colorado this weekend, and he'll be at Pittsburgh next week. He had a good year. It was a huge shock. 3.57 ERA last year and a strikeout per inning with the Giants, but I probably should be more than 16% owned, but not that much more. That's going to do it for today's show. Did you have a final thought?
No.
Okay. Chris thinks Derek Holland is good. Tell us Derek Holland's good,
Chris. It's about Derek Holland, so we don't really need to air it.
Derek Holland or the Stallions.
I think he should probably be started most of the time he's at home.
Okay. I think Max Fried is like my guy now. I think every time he starts, it's going to basically decide my reputation.
We made you a trade offer in the For the People League. And you should have Max Fried in that league. I mean, he is your guy. He should be on your roster. We offered you Max Fried and Gary Sanchez, your favorite catcher, for Chris Sale. And that was before this most recent.
This was, hold on. This, you did not run this by me.
I would take that trade. I would take that trade. Is it still out there?
I'll propose it right now.
No.
I will take it. I have to talk to Scott. I have to talk to Scott about it.
No, you want to go straight.
This is like it's like a submarine. You need both people pulling the lever.
You agreed to this trade offer. You laughed when I said it and said that would be a great trade. And
let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, see?
All right, trade's going to happen.
Yes, thank you. Propose it. I will talk to Scott.
An awful
We'll let you know tomorrow. That's it for today's show. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today.